We're going to really have it on the show. So sit back, relax, and spend some time here enjoying some spoken word entertainment on CITR 101.9 FM.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Lights Out, a summer revival of the famous series which many of our listeners will remember. Tonight's story, the sixth in the series, is called The Ghost on the Newsreel Negative. Lights out. Everybody. This is the witching hour. Evil is let loose on a sleeping world. Sit in the dark now and listen to Lights Out.
Where do you suppose we are, Martin?
How do I know where we are? You're the driver.
Yeah, I'm the driver. Only you're supposed to tell me where you want to go, you know.
I told you.
Yeah. You know what you said? You said we're going to a farm out on Route 330, about halfway between Dundee and Algonquin.
I remember, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I'm supposed to be a mind reader.
Sure you are.
Well, I would be if you had a mind to read.
Nuts, Mr. Lynn.
And nuts to you, Mr. Barnett.
About there?
How do I know?
Oh, I should have known that.
Well, you're a wise guy. You're the great cameraman. You know everything.
Oh, shut up.
Well, look, we're about halfway between Dundee and Algonquin now. The sign at Dundee said 5 miles to Algonquin, and the speedometer said 93331.
It says 93333 now.
Pretty. You can read. Now, listen. Half of 5 is 2.5.
Yeah, that's right.
And 93,331 to 93,333 is 2 miles.
Yeah.
Therefore, Mr. Barnett, therefore, I'll bet you that that place right up there is the place where we're going.
Huh? What place? Oh, yeah, I guess it is.
Now we've got that settled. What are we going to do when we get there?
I am going to make a story. And you're going to catch the noise on it.
You kill me, Martin.
All right. Now?
Huh? No. I mean, what kind of story?
Ghosts.
Ghosts? Or goats?
Oh, I know that story. Ghosts. Hey, do you believe in ghosts, Wick?
Well, I ain't ever seen one.
But don't let that worry you. You're gonna.
Says you.
Go on, drive in that gate there. Oh, that one, dummy.
I got it. Where's these ghosts?
Don't you ever read the papers?
I don't get enough money to buy papers.
What's it about? This here... Hey, stop right there, I guess. This here's the ghost farm.
Yeah? So what?
So? We come to make pictures of the ghosts. Set up a bomb here, I guess. We'll get the old house and the barn in a picture. I'll go see if I can find anybody.
There don't seem to be anybody around.
Must be somebody. I'll go see.
Don't get bit by a ghost.
I won't. Here, let's make it as snappy as we can, huh? So we can get back to town.
What's the matter? Ghost getting your pal?
No kidding. Did you ever see such a deserted-looking dump? I wouldn't be surprised if a ghost jumped right up out of the ground.
What you fellas want here?
Where'd you come from?
I was right around on the other side of the wagon. What you want here?
I'm Martin Barnett of Paragon News. This is Whit, my noise catcher. Hello.
What you want?
Well, is this the, ghost farm?
Ghost farm? Where'd you get that idea?
Well, papers.
Oh, yes. All them silly stories in the papers. Yes, I guess this here is the place you're looking for. What you want?
Well, we want to make some newsreel pictures. You know, movies. I was working for Mr. Tracy.
Tracy?
Yeah, Ty owns a place.
Oh. He ain't here.
He, hey?
No.
Well, maybe this guy, gentleman can tell us, Martin. Say, about this ghost business. Is it a real ghost, mister?
Is there a real ghost here?
Do you know anything about it?
Do I know anything about it? I am the ghost.
My gosh, he scared me out of 6 years' growth. He said he was the ghost man.
What about me? I swallowed my chewing tobacco.
Doggone old fool.
He's got the dirtiest laugh I ever heard in all my life.
Ain't he, though?
I wish he'd come back. I want to get the story made and get back to town before it gets dark.
You better if they're going to get out a special on it tonight.
Yeah. I don't know why Red don't think of these things soon enough. He gets these brainstorms all of a sudden. Then he wants to get stuff out for every theater in Chicago by 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
And the great Barnett has to go out and shoot him. So shut up and wind up your Kodak.
Oh, guys. Uh-oh. Here comes old Screwy again.
It's about time.
Hey, what exposure would you give out here?
About four or five, I think. It's getting kind of dark.
I think 5, 6 would do it.
You're the cameraman. If you don't get your shots, it's you, Red'll murder.
Maybe it better be 4 or 5.
Well, are you ready to make your movie pitches now?
Yeah, if you are.
What do you want me to do?
Well, first I want a shot of the house and the barn. So you better go back and come walking out of the house, and I'll pan after you while you walk to the barn. Then you can come over here, and I'll make an interview. Hey, Whit, you can talk to him, huh?
I suppose so. I don't get paid for it, though.
Oh, nuts. Go ahead, mister.
Hey, just walk out of the house to the barn, eh?
Yeah, that's right. I'll holler for you to come out.
Yes, all right.
That laughy business is enough to scare anybody goofy.
No wonder people think he's a ghost.
He's not even a fruitcake.
So what? So are we. And we get out of a newsreel business.
He's waiting for you, hotshot.
Oh. You all set?
I've been all set for an hour.
Oh, all right. Here we go.
Go ahead, mister.
Okay.
Oh, come on back, mister.
Don, if you don't look like a ghost.
This whole place looks ghostly enough for me. I'll be glad when we get back to town.
Me too.
Did you get it? Did you get my picture?
Sure, we never miss.
Much.
What do you want me to do now?
Well, look, you stand there. No, there. That's it. Listen, when I start the camera, you just tell in your own words how you do this ghost business, will you?
You want me to talk?
Yeah, that's it. Set the microphone over closer, Whit.
Yes, Mr. Barnett.
Put it on the running board.
Yes, Mr.
You just want me to talk, huh?
That's it.
I just tell how I'm the ghost and what I do and everything, huh?
Yeah. And then in a minute or two, Mr. Whit will step up alongside you. He'll ask you some questions. All you got to do is answer them, see?
You say what, huh?
That's it. Just say, what's that? I'll motion to Whit when you're to step in.
What'll I say?
Who do you think of something to say? You're a smart sound expert.
It's nuts. I ain't getting paid for that.
You do as you're told.
Yes, Mr. Barnett.
Shut up.
Yes, Mr. Barnett.
You ready, Mr.? Mr.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Now, well, okay, now. Do that there dirty laugh of yours. Go ahead, now.
Now?
Yeah, now, I'm running.
Yes, sir. I'm the ghost. I'm the ghost that haunts this here place. You want to know how I do it? Well, sir, at night I go around and look into windows. When people see me staring in with my eyes all wide like this, when they see me, they scream and shiver and like to pass out. Yes, sir, I'm a ghost, a doggone good ghost, if you ask me.
Go ahead, Winter.
And how long have you been haunting this farm, Mr. Ghost?
More years than you'd think I've been a haunting it. Yes, sir.
Is that so? Well, you suppose you could give us a sample of your very ghostliest laugh?
I sure can. You like that?
That's fine. Do you believe in ghosts yourself?
Do I? Do I? I am a ghost.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's enough.
My gosh, mister.
What's the matter? I scare you?
I don't scare you. See? You don't, huh? What's that behind you?
I'll talk on your way.
What's that behind you?
Look, mister, I'm sorry.
Don't do that. I'm dead.
I won't, and don't do any more of that laughing again, mister.
What's that?
That's my sister.
Your sister?
Sure. She helps me haunt the place.
Have you got a sister?
Sure. She's in the house there. She's bedridden, though. She ain't been out of bed for 29 years.
She?
No. She screams right well enough, though, don't she?
She sure does.
Hey, Martin. Listen, that would make a swell shot, too. The old gal and him in that old rattle-trap house.
Yeah. Only how are we gonna do it?
Well, I'll put some photofloods in a reflector and run them off the battery, huh?
Well,
You ought to take some pictures of my sister.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead, Witt. Sure, this ought to be a swell.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, wait till I get the lamps.
Yeah. She'll be tickled, my sister will. She had her picture took that she was a little gal.
Yeah. Gosh, what if Fred doesn't like this story?
Go ahead. Shall I take the sound on this too?
Might as well. Got a long enough line?
Yeah. You go ahead with the camera.
Step right this way, mister.
Martin, suppose the old gal's as nutty as he is.
Boy, am I going to be glad to get out of this.
Yeah, me too.
Right in here. Careful of the back porch. The board is kind of rotten. Ellie! I brought a couple of young fellers. Wants to take your picture.
That's fine, Stanley.
I'll hold the door open. Go ahead.
Come here, feller. Kind of dark. We ain't got no electric lights.
Which way now?
Right in here.
Careful you don't bump yourself.
Yeah. Where are you, Witt?
I'm coming.
It's got no lights at all.
Not a darn thing.
Well, hurry up with them photo floods, Whit.
I'll be right there.
You brung your own lights, mister?
Yes, ma'am. I hope they won't blind you. They're pretty bright.
Ouch. Oh. Shall I set them up here?
Get off my foot!
Oh, is that your foot?
What'd you think it was?
I thought it was a suitcase.
You be careful now. Stanley, you tell him to be careful. I don't want you to set fires or nothing.
They'll be careful, Ellie.
This is the darkest place I've ever been in my life.
Do you think I like it? Where's your lights?
Don't set fire to nothing.
We won't.
Just a minute now.
Gonna have my picture too.
You can talk whilst they're making the picture, Ellie.
Gonna make a moving picture of me.
Well, all ready, Martin.
All ready. Turn your lights on.
There ain't anybody there.
Oh, my.
Just be patient. She may...
There, Julia.
That boy. I've heard her.
Don't you boys worry now. Them lights may be just a little bright. Ellie never was one to shine out very strong.
Martin, what do we do now? I know what I want to do.
Start making your picture. That's what you come in here for, ain't it?
Picture what?
Why, Ellie, of course.
But there's nobody there.
Well, I guess there is. If you don't believe me, just look at these covers.
Martin, no, those covers, they move.
Yeah, I saw it.
There, young man. Maybe that'll convince you. Well, let's get on with it.
Yeah, thanks.
Stanley, is my hair all right?
Sure, Ellie.
Looks real pretty. Look, mister, are you sure?
Young man, I'm losing my patience. You want to come in here and just pick you up my sister? She's there, just as plain as the nose on your face. Plainer than your nose.
Well, but
I think you'd better take the picture. It's just the light disappointed you. Ain't that the start haunting you, too?
No. We'll take the picture. You get ready to make the interview when I turn them over.
Okay. But how can I ask questions of someone that isn't even there?
I'm still here, young man.
Hey, never mind, Whit. Just stand by. Okay. Go ahead. Hello?
Hello?
would you mind telling me your name?
I sure would.
Thanks. Can you tell me just how you go about this haunting business?
No, I don't mind.
Well, I mean, how do you do it?
Well, first I start off by being invisible.
You mean like you are now, you mean?
Ain't I showing at all?
No, you ain't showing.
Yes, like that then. And then when I find someone I want to scare, I just make myself visible like this. And then I scream like this.
Hey, can't we go any faster?
Shut up. I'm scared myself now.
Don't use that word.
Oh, all right.
Back in town now.
I never thought that they would come when I'd be glad to see Wabash Avenue.
What happened to you back there?
I don't know. She screamed, the lights went up, and I started running.
Fine thing.
Well, what did you do?
I just grabbed the camera, started running.
That was better, huh?
Well, at least I have the camera. Honestly, that's all the years ever sending me out on another assignment like this. I'll quit.
And if we don't get a bonus for this strip of film, I'll quit too.
Here, Red. Here,
Get us in the super and make it snappy.
Okay, man. $7.10, Martin.
This sounds like on a wet
site. Think so.
Yeah. You think so? You think so?
What the double barrel?
I think it is red.
Red. You got a drink?
What's the matter with you two, Lucas?
Yeah.
You tell him,
you tell him, Martin.
Didn't you get something, sir? Go on to hell. Get that film into the soup and don't turn on no red light either. That's Super 8.
Okay,
well, speak up. What's the matter with you? Didn't you get the story?
I think we got it, Rick.
You think so, huh?
We got it, Red. We got it. Can we have a drink?
There's the water cooler.
Oh, Red.
All right, there's a bottle in my desk.
Come on, Rick.
Wait a minute. What's this all about?
Red, that's what. Mr. Willis.
Well, ain't that just dangerous? Did you see a ghosty boasty or something, Martin?
Gosh, Red, we sure thought we did. I should say so.
Well, it's just ducky. So what? You first been sucking on a bottle? If you
had... No, I haven't had a drink.
Well, what happened then?
Well, listen, Red, I'll tell you. That old guy out there.
What old guy out where?
The old guy out at the ghost bar.
Well, what about him?
He tell him,
He's the scariest looking guy you've ever seen. He's an old screwy guy. He's nuttier than a noise catcher.
Hey.
Shut up.
And he's a ventriloquist.
Never mind his religion. Go on.
Well, he's the ghost.
He goes around and hollers, ooh,
and he looks just like a real ghost.
He's got the dickens out of
him. Wait a minute now. One at a time. What did he do?
Well, the darnest thing, he'd almost taken us into the house where he said his sister was.
And we could hear her talking to him.
And him, too.
And when I turned on the light, well, there was nobody there.
What?
It's a fake, Red. He run out on us or something.
Have you been drinking again when I told you
either? Telephone, take it on number 2
line. Okay. Wait right here, you two. Hello. Paragon.
Oh? It was Red Calvin here. Oh, hello, Mr. Casey.
What?
Say that again. Well, they didn't, huh?
They're right here now.
Yeah, both of them.
Sure, wait a minute. Where did you first say you'd been this afternoon?
Why, at the ghost farm, Ray. At the ghost farm.
You're sure about that?
Well, sure.
Of course, we wouldn't lie. Yes.
They say they were there all afternoon, Mr. Tracy. Huh? Well, call me back in about 10 minutes. I'm going to find out about this. Okay. Yeah. Now, you two monkeys, what's this all about? You're trying to rib on me?
What's the matter, Red? Yeah, what's the matter, Red?
That was Tracy, the guy that owns the ghost farm. He said he's been waiting since 11 o'clock for you two to show up. And there ain't been a sign of a newsreel man out there all day. So what's the answer to that one?
Sure we was there.
Well, we'll find out whether you were there or not in about 2 minutes. You birds are kind of... Hey, Harold, how about that film?
Just coming out of the dryer, Red. Should I have to get ready for the print?
No, bring the negative in here first and run it through the movie over.
Oh, it could have been at the wrong place, Red. The old guy said he was a ghost.
Yeah, sure he said. He's on your proof, the two.
Yeah? Well, we'll see.
I tell you, Red...
You ain't telling me nothing. Listen, you make us out of that interior...
What interior?
The interior where you say you heard the old lady and then she was gone.
Oh, that interior.
Did you make a shot of that?
Well, yeah. We started to shoot. We got about 50 feet when all at once this gal screams, our lights go off.
So we just grabbed the equipment and scrambled.
We were scared.
I think the motor floods are still there.
Well, for your sake, I hope they ain't.
Bill,
try it. Bring it in here.
Oh.
Yeah, get me now. Hey, you bird. Let's see. Coming to the movie over, and if you got a picture, okay. But if you ain't, you better get your hats and coats on and...
We did make a picture out of it.
Yeah, we'll see in a minute.
But we did, Red.
Yeah. We'll find out.
But, Red!
Listen, you trying to talk me out of this?
Gee, Red, no!
Well, shut up, then. Hey. All right, turn out the lights.
Red!
Turn out the lights. Now we'll see. Get your skull out of the way so I can see with. There's a couple of old think so. How's the button?
The old guy will be there in a minute.
Yeah, I hope so. Standing from the house to the barn.
What? Yes?
I don't say nothing yet.
Wait. I don't know.
Look, background's out of focus now.
Out of focus? Yes.
Yeah? Well, where is he?
I don't know. He'll be there in a minute.
Yeah.
He'll be there. What happened,
Reggie? I shut it off.
Oh.
Listen, you lugs. You think for one lousy minute that you can get away with that
kind of stuff?
But, Reggie,
he was there. Yeah, he was, Red.
Gonna stick together, huh? Well, you're both fired.
Oh,
gee,
Red.
If you don't get out of my sight before I
wait,
come
Red, wait.
What's the matter?
The soundtrack, Red.
Well, what about it?
There's something on it.
What?
Let me see. Yes, sir? Voices, I can tell. Rewind it. Quick, Red. Rewind it.
If you're pulling it. All right.
You didn't have the speaker turned on, Red.
I've done it yourself. I'll turn it on.
Go ahead, Red. Turn it on for the love of my
heart. Just trying to okay, here it goes. No sound yet.
No. That's just the Martin Pan that followed him from the house to the bar. Now wait till the background jumps out of focus. That'll be the second scene where the old guy with
Oh, no. I'm in it.
What? Listen.
Entirely inside the confused head of a hunted man. Nils Malone is a bad man and a killer. He has no conscience, but there's something there that keeps bothering him as he sits in his dingy boarding house hideout. And...
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
And now, tonight's presentation of radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense. Tonight, we bring you a story based on fact. A man's last hours in a death cell awaiting execution. We call it, The Phones Die First. So now, starring Harry Bartell, here is tonight's suspense play, The Phones Die First.
Bradley speaking. Oh, yes, Warden. Brunner, with him? But it's almost four. Well, Brunner's due downstairs, you understand? Well, if you say so, sir. I'll call the row right away.
Sarge?
Yeah, Brunner.
How about these law books? I got a lot of them here.
You can give them to the library if you want, or the fellas here. Whatever you want to do.
How about the guys, huh?
Fine with me.
Well, that's about everything. Except my personal stuff. Do I have time, Sarge?
It's not quite four yet. Oh, excuse me, Brunner.
Sure.
Row. Yes, sir. He's about ready. Oh, Captain, are you coming over to go with Brunner? Or shall we? Well, fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's all right. Yeah, we'll do. Mm-hmm. Bye. Bill.
Yes, Sarge?
The captain's on his way up for Brunner. You and Doug take the gun rail, just in case, you know.
Right, Sarge. You know something?
What?
I'll be glad when the cap takes me off this tour. Each time one of them poor devils takes the big walk, I do too.
You'll get used to it. They do.
Hello, boys.
Afternoon, Captain.
We got a problem.
Oh?
Warden called me. Brunner's got a specially approved visit. His sister.
You going to take him downstairs first?
No, I don't think so. I think we'll take him over to my office to visit with him, and then downstairs from there. Hello, Frank.
Oh, Cam.
How's it going?
Okay, I guess.
It's just about four, Frank.
Yeah.
But first, you got a visit.
Me? Who?
Your sister.
Oh, I thought maybe it was my lawyer with some news.
Well, if there is any, Frank, you'll hear. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, Cap, I won't worry.
Sergeant tells me he wants to say goodbye to some of the fellas up here. Well, that's okay with me if you do, but not too long, huh?
When am I seeing my sister?
As soon as we leave here, in my office.
We aren't coming back here, huh?
No, Frank.
Downstairs?
Unlock Brunner, will you?
Yes, sir.
I'll wait for you at the elevator gate, Frank.
Thanks, Cap.
You got everything, Brunner?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Frank. Over here.
Oh,
Don't worry. I hadn't forgotten you, Whitey. I'll take care of your pictures for you if you want.
Well, thanks, but I already gave them to the sergeant here. He's going to send them home.
Oh. But I tell you what you can do. You can take his dictionary, mine. Maybe it'll do you some good.
What do I want with a book? Has a lot of big words. Where we're going...
Sure, Frank, I'd like it. Thanks.
Dream the big dream for me, will you?
So am I.
So am I, Frank.
Hey, Frank. What's happening, Lucky?
Nothing shaking.
I'd like you to take these books here off my hands, would you?
Oh, sure, sure. We can all use them.
No, especially you. We've had a charm for you. They kept you from taking the walk I'm taking today.
I don't know. I've got a terrible hunch I'm turning the last few pages.
No, no, you keep writing those writs. Those law books still work. Maybe not always in time for everybody, but they've done all right for you.
See, Frank, I wish... you know.
Sure, I understand. We'll be thinking about you tomorrow. Do that. Hi, kid.
Hmm, Brewer.
How you doing?
Sick of this crummy place.
You aren't in a hurry to leave it, are you?
I don't know. This whole joint.
You want to go with me?
If you think I'll kiss anybody goodbye, you're crazy. No one's ever handed me anything. I don't expect them to do it now.
You have it your way, kid. I think you're all noise.
Listen, Bruner, I don't see giving these bulls anything. When I go, they want to have an extra goon squad waiting because I'm going to leave them something to remember me
Look,
by.
Kid, I ain't got much time to talk. I want you to have something of mine. Here.
What is it? Tom Sawyer. You a jokester?
No, I want you to have it.
I don't get it.
Well, you read it. Maybe it'll make you see somebody you never knew. When everything was wonderful tomorrow.
Sure, Bruno. I'll read it in the easy chair downstairs.
Sure, kid. I'll be seeing you.
Sure thing.
Sorry about the kid, Frank. Talks too much.
He gets scared all kinds of ways, Cap.
Yeah, maybe so. You ready, Frank?
No. Let's go.
Bruner, I'm going to leave you and your sister alone in my office. It's not routine, but this time we'll forget routine for a moment. I want you to promise me you'll come when I call you. Agreed, Frank?
Thanks, Cap.
Frank.
Hello, sis.
Oh, Frank.
And now listen, honey. We haven't got much time. We shouldn't spend it bawling, huh?
You're right.
How'd you get up here?
The train.
How's Mom and Dad?
Oh, Frank.
I ask you a question, honey.
I'm fine. You know they send their love.
I'm glad you made him stay home. No need.
How have you been, darling?
Fine.
They tell me that this is our last chance to visit.
That's right, honey.
Oh, Frank.
Yeah, listen, Ruthie. Listen close. There's not much time left. I want you to do something for me, something important. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I want you to call Alice's family.
What?
I want you to call Alice's family.
But Frank...
Now, please, honey. I killed Alice, but I want them to know, as I've always said, that it wasn't from hate or anything like that. It just hurt. Knowing after all those years that we were together, she really cared for someone else.
I will, Frank, I promise.
I couldn't see life without her, and it was even worse to live knowing that she was with someone else and not me. If I couldn't have it, nobody else could. Maybe they'll understand.
Frank.
Listen, honey, I want you to go now, please.
But, John...
No, Ruthie, this is no good for both of us. You go on.
Frank, why? Why?
Would you give me a kiss?
Frank.
Thanks, honey. Now go. Go on.
So this is it, huh, Sarge? Last stop. When I was upstairs on the row, I used to see him come down here in the afternoon before, just like today. I always wondered. Then my wondering's over.
You got enough cigarettes?
You know, I don't smoke much, Sarge. It's bad for the system. Hey, what time did Cap say be back?
Around 6.
Well, it's almost that now, isn't it?
Just about.
Time is something we'll all be keeping track of pretty close the next 14 hours, huh?
Sorry, Frank. I'm late, I know.
Well, that's all right, Cap. I'm in no hurry, believe me.
Warden's coming over around 9.
You think he'll have any news?
Well, I understand he's been in touch with the state capitol. It's routine, of course, you know.
I don't have much of a chance, do I, Cap?
I really don't know, Frank.
Well, I know.
Anything I can get you, Frank?
Yeah, there is. A phonograph.
I think that can be arranged.
And some nice records, something classical, something easy on the ear.
I'll certainly try. Meanwhile, the chaplain's asked if you want to see him.
Of course I do. I'm no fool. Tomorrow morning isn't going to be easy. I never kidded myself on that. I don't want to walk in there alone.
Hey, Whitey. Whitey.
What?
The lights will be out in a minute or two. 10 o'clock.
So?
I wonder what Bruner's doing.
He's probably doing it hard.
He was an okay guy. Never could quite figure. Hey, what'd he give you?
His dictionary.
Dictionary? You know what he gave me? Tom Sawyer. Can you imagine?
Listen, kid. You had your figure a long time ago when you first come up here. You're all you did when he came by this afternoon was lip off.
What was I supposed to do? Break down in tears?
Don't be so sure of yourself. But like I was saying, guys like him you never figure out. First they're with you, and then you're sitting like us right now remembering them. And you're glad they were with you.
What could I say?
I don't know.
Hey, Whitey, you think Bruner will really go tomorrow morning?
Who knows?
One of the bulls was telling me a couple of weeks ago that when one of us gets it, they knock off all the phones an hour before. Said something about keeping the lines clear except for the one downstairs. Real slick, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, real slick. Everything dies in order. The free world when you come in here. And the last light of day in the afternoon before. And just before they sit you down in a little green room, they kill all the phones. And they go about killing you.
Listening to The Phones Die First, tonight's presentation in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
Underworld characters who want an easy buck and aren't fussy how they make it are endlessly inventive. Fortunately, the agents of the FBI are even quicker and shrewder in their counter-efforts to foil their plans and ferret them out of hiding. You can hear another startling drama on the popular CBS radio program, The FBI in Peace and War, over most of these same stations, tomorrow night.
And now we bring back to our Hollywood soundstage Harry Bartell, starring in tonight's production, The Phones Die First, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Callahan. Hello. Yeah, it's a beautiful piece you're playing.
Yeah, Father. I'll turn it off.
No, 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 please don't.
Beautiful.
I understand you're a Protestant.
Yeah?
You asked for a priest? You know, there's a Protestant chaplain here.
Yeah, I know, Father. He's probably a right guy, but I didn't... I don't know how to say it.
What?
I've heard ever since I came to this place practically a year ago that you were quite the good Joe. I'm sorry, Father. I didn't mean it.
Please, please. I'm flattered. You wanted a friend.
Yeah.
Well, Frank, I suppose when it's all said and done, what is religion? Faith, but a friend. Sort of hold on to. I've been so busy all day, I haven't really eaten anything yet. How about you?
I'm not too hungry.
Oh, come on. You're not going to let me eat alone, are you? Tell you what we'll do. We'll phone from here and have Smitty send up something.
Smitty, you're a brave warrior, Father.
Oh, I see. You've heard of Smithy, our prize chef, huh? Well, you can't do any more than...
Can you kill us, Father?
I don't think that's called for, do you, Frank?
I'm sorry.
Well, what are you going to have, Frank? I'll match you, dish for dish. Oh. I should have known better than to try to eat more than a Dutchman.
I think you did pretty good, Father, considering that you haven't got much to stow your food away in.
Hey, you casting aspersions at this thin house of mine? You'd be surprised.
What time is it?
Midnight. A little past.
Would you mind, Father, staying here tonight? I know it isn't the best hotel, but...
Be glad to.
The fellas were right. You're an Oak.
Where's your home, Frank?
You mean where I was born or where I live?
Both.
I was born in Seattle, but I spent most of my life up around Modesto.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful farming country. I've been through there often.
We aren't so far from it here.
No, we're not.
In about 10 hours from now, I'll be a long ways away.
Frank, you a fatalist?
No, Father. But I know when not to kid myself.
Oh, I don't think it's kidding yourself to believe that even though we may be in some dire straits, that often we actually come out of them.
Not this time.
Well, if I were you, I'd sort of put my trust in someone much more sure than you and me. Then I'd relax as best I knew how.
Sure.
Mr. Johnson?
Oh, Miss Bruner, I was just going to call you. I have an appointment with the governor at 9 this morning.
Is he in town?
Yes, we're in luck. He left the Capitol last night, and this morning my secretary called me that he's staying with friends here.
Have you already talked with him?
Yes, but just briefly. He's agreed to talk with me regarding Frank this morning. Miss Bruner?
Yes?
Don't raise your hopes at this late hour. As Frank's lawyer, all I can do is present what we've presented before and had turned down.
Hanging on and believing?
No, of course not. I promise I'll call you when I hear definite news.
You'll call regardless of what it might be?
Yes, I promise.
Good morning, Father.
Good morning, Captain.
Bruner, how are you?
Thanks for the record you sent over and the phonograph.
Well, I'm glad to do it. Bruner, the warden won't be over until time. He told me to tell you he'll be in personal touch with the governor this morning.
You're in time for breakfast, Captain.
I don't mind if I do.
You feel like trusting Smitty again, Frank?
What have I got to lose?
You know, Captain, I'm getting to be a freeloader around here. Last night, again this morning. What'll the budget director say?
I think he'd say, let's eat.
All right, Captain. Let's have orange juice, bacon and eggs, hot cakes, toast,
and strong black coffee. More coffee, Frank? How about you, Captain?
No, thanks, Bobby. I've got to be going. There's some things I've got to attend to.
Captain.
Yes, Bruner?
I'd like to ask you something.
Sure.
When it comes time this morning, which isn't too long now, I want just you and the father to go with me. Will you promise?
I'll see, Bruner.
Hey, Whitey?
Lucky.
You checking the time?
Who ain't?
Frank was all right, huh? Wish he could have been around longer.
Hey, you're the lawyer up here. How about this last-minute stay routine? Couldn't Frank get it as well as the next guy? You know, we've seen him get him.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock now. If they're going to give him one, they better be warming up the warden's phone.
Man, I'd like to see him come up that elevator again. It'll do us all good.
Hey, you guys praying over there? Why don't you drop dead?
Oh, no. No, they're going to have to do the honors for me.
Hey, Whitey. You ever see such a screwball?
You'll meet a different kid come his time to follow Frank. Believe me.
Father, I'm scared.
If you weren't, I wouldn't understand you.
Will it hurt?
Frank, you trust me.
No, I do.
Then I want you not to say anything more. All right?
But, Father, I...
I like you, Frank. Because you know something? You're like a brother of mine.
Is he a priest?
No, he's making money. A contractor in St. Paul.
I'm glad you became a priest.
I am too, Frank, because I met you.
You're just being nice.
Oh, no, Frank. I'd say this had we met outside. You know, we can't really judge our fellow man always by what he does or doesn't do. What we see is but a little bit of the man. God sees all of him. What's important? The heart. The intent of his life. I wouldn't worry if I were you, Frank. Whatever comes.
Father, I don't know what I would have done without you. A good friend.
Well, all of those of you who have proper identification and credentials for admittance to the chamber area, prepare them now for showing before entering. I must remind you again that no smoking or talking will be allowed once you're in the outer chamber itself. And I must remind you also that once you are inside, you will not be allowed to leave. Should you feel the need for assistance at any time during the ensuing proceedings, a custodial officer will be there to assist you. May I say now, if there's... You may do so. Very well. You will sign the register inside the chamber, giving your name, address, and professional capacity. I recognize a few faces in the group, but to those who are here for the first time... We do not treat these proceedings as a show, but a grim task to be done as quickly and mercifully as possible. Will you come with me, please?
Chamber. Yes? Yes, sir. Yeah, I'll tell. Yes, sir. Bruner, it was the warden.
Yeah.
He hasn't been able to reach the governor.
Yeah, I know. The warden couldn't reach him. He just don't want to be reached.
Frank.
That's your show, Father, the make-believe's all.
Frank. Will you listen to me?
I have been, Father, and I'm still going through that green door
Frank,
over there.
Frank is a friend. As a friend, would you pray with me? It's a prayer we both know, that I'm sure. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Father, we're ready.
So are we. Give us a moment.
Surely.
Frank, would you put your hand in mine for just a moment?
Sure, Father.
And then we'll walk like only friends can. Side by side. Each giving strength and peace to the other.
Father.
I'm with you.
Father won't have to go.
Yes, of course. Come on, Frank. Let's walk together.
Chamber. Yes, sir. Warden. Warden. It's the governor's office.
Father. Father.
Yes, Frank. We're going to be all right.
Bartell starred in tonight's presentation of The Phones Die First. Next week, we bring you a story of a woman who finds a letter warning of death and has only 3 hours to deliver it. We call it The Death Parade. That's next week on Suspense. Is produced and directed in Hollywood by Anthony Ellis. Tonight's story was written by Jules Maitland. The music was composed by Renee Garagan and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Heard in tonight's cast were Barney Phillips, William Justine, Tom McKee, Jack Crucian, Herbert Ellis, Richard Crenna, and Eleanor Tannen.
Nothing gives old man trouble as much personal trouble as a smile, and nobody seems more dedicated to making life tough for old man trouble than Arthur Godfrey. Tomorrow and every Monday through Friday, listen over most of these same stations for Arthur Godfrey Time. It's one sure way to tune in on happiness. Stay tuned for 5 minutes of CBS News to be followed on most of these same stations by My Son Jeep.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
Tune in every Tuesday afternoon from 1 to 2 p.m. for the Community Living Show. Join host Michael, Kelly, and friends on CITR 101.9 FM and also online at www.citr.ca for the Community Living Show, right after the morning after show.
And you are tuned into CITR 101.9 FM. That's all the time we're going to have for Skults Hall. Coming up in a moment, there'll be Canada Post Rock.